Stevie Wonder, Heaven Help Us All, from 1970, here on the mix on 90.7 WKGC, FM and HD, here when you need us. Good morning, I'm Caleb Jordan.
And I'm Dana Erskine.
We're joined with us in studio by Chase Pospichel, the featured artist of this week's Radio Cosmos Live, hosted by WKGC's own secret agent, Mikey Thompson.
Yeah, you can find the stream on Comcast Cable Channel 6 and GCSETV.com.
Chase, good morning. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. Good morning, guys.
We are excited to have you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are, of course, this week's featured artist of Radio Cosmos Live, one of the local musicians in our area with an enormously wild story. Like, not only what you have been through, but along with what you are immediately planning to do next, it is one wild ride. So let's talk a little bit about that. Tell me a little bit about you and how you got started with your music career.
All right. So from the young age, you know, I was like, my family, we listened to a lot of different music at a young age. I grew up writing poetry. So what a lot of people don't know, if they know me from now, is that, yeah, I was a poet originally, and found that out in junior high and got my voice. And once I discovered that I had a voice and that other people couldn't express themselves the way that I could, but they needed that, I was like, oh, I can be that. What was for me, like with my parents' music and stuff, the CDs I grew up listening to. So that transitioned to rapping. And as a young man, I rapped here locally. And then I taught myself guitar. So the evolution process was kind of strange, but beautiful.
And no, certainly. You were talking off air that some of your inspiration was Red Hot Chili Peppers and Anthony Kiedis.
Absolutely.
And having the time motivation, along with where you were with your mindset at the time, where you had been in a place where you were beginning to work on yourself and taking everything to really focus on improving you for you, understanding who you are and how you function. And that you were talking about your mindset about limiting thoughts.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was in prison for a little while, and for violent, like gun charges when I was a kid, which is just made a mistake. 1020 life law in Florida, you're going to automatically do 10 years in prison. So yeah, I made that little mistake, and that cost me 10 years of my life. Well, in that time, early on, I shifted from feeling like something was done to me to just taking full responsibility for everything and myself. And then I got to a place where I was like, well, I'm not giving this time to anybody else. Because a lot of people have the mindset when you're locked up that you're doing dead time, like your life stops. And I didn't subscribe to that belief. I felt like I'm still living and I'm not going to waste this, and I'm not giving it to the state or anybody else. I'm going to give it to myself. So lots of books, working out, taught myself yoga, picked up a guitar, you know, anything that spoke to my soul, I was after. And in that process, and in the books I was reading, you know, it was a lot of child work, inner child work, a lot of shadow work, a lot of holding myself accountable, a lot of mental development, psychological development. Yeah. I was just reading all this material, and I was being introduced to all these things for the first time in my life, a lot like what colleges do for people. You know, you come from a small town, you're not used to different beliefs, different foods, different people, and then all of a sudden you go to college, and you got people from all over the world, and they have all kinds of beliefs. They come from all different upbringings, and those things help you to expand. And so that was the process for me. And when I did pick up a guitar in prison, I was at a place where I was holding myself accountable mentally with my thoughts. And at the time, I heard a bunch of guys playing a guitar out in the yard, and I was just so amazed. I was like, oh, I wish I could do that. And as soon as I did say that to myself, I had that immediate thought, like, well, why can't you? And immediately after that, it was just crickets, like dead silence. I was like, oh, I don't have a good reason why I can't do this. So I guess I have to be accountable now. So that was how that started, and it just grew, man.
And certainly after the fact, you got out of prison, came back here. Hurricane Michael hit, which threw a wrench in literally everybody's plans.
Yeah.
Yours pretty much most of all.
Yeah, literally when Michael hit, I had been out for 3 months. I was working three jobs. And I was, me and my brother, we had two roommates. We had a four-bedroom house here in St. Andrews. And the storm hits, and which was crazy because you know how most Floridians are. We're like, oh, it's a hurricane. There's always a hurricane. So we didn't take it seriously at all. Matter of fact, I think I was out partying the night before, so I wake up like an hour before the storm was supposed to hit. My brother had just got back from a Miami game in Miami. So we're just in the house hanging out, and we didn't fill the tub with water. We didn't go shopping. We didn't do anything. We just had what we had, and we were not expecting that. So three of the four bedrooms in the house caved in. So we're literally just in the house moving stuff around to minimize our personal property damage as much as possible. And yeah, after that, I had just enough money once the dust settled to make it to Minnesota, to buy a plane ticket to Minnesota. So I grabbed my guitar and I grabbed a duffel bag full of clothes, and I went and stayed on my buddy's couch outside of Rochester for about a month until I got this tower climbing job, which is what I was planning on doing when I was in prison. Like, I'd already had it mapped out. I wanted to see the world. I wanted to have friends everywhere. I want to go eat bougie food. And I want to build my credit. I want to do the things that I didn't get to do when I was in 20s. So I was like trying to do all that, and that job just seemed to fit it. And he was like, yeah, man, you can crash up here. So it was a hope and a prayer. It was like a Hail Mary pass, because I didn't have money to get back. So if they didn't hire me, I was going to have to get a job, and I couldn't keep staying on his couch, so I was going to have to figure something out. I was looking at shelters. I was going to, like, get a bartending job or a serving job, save enough money to get a ticket back home, or save enough money to go to, well, I can't say get back home. I wasn't going back home. My whole plan was, if I didn't get this job, I was about to go somewhere else and start over again. Like, oh, let me go get a tower job over here. So thankfully I got hired, and yeah. Took my guitar 20 different states in 1 year. My day started at 350 feet plus every morning with a 60-pound harness.
Man, I don't envy you. I know
that's
the
a hard job. Yeah,
I know the need. You know, personally, coming in a radio station, I know the need for tower crew, folks.
Yeah, right.
But boy, howdy, I don't think I want to be at least 1,000 feet in the air working on an antenna. Not every day of my life.
Oh, man. It's something to get used to. They got this thing called a 6-inch heart attack, which is you are.
Oh, my gosh.
So you gotta stay clipped off to the tower with your safety lanyards at all time. But there's a third hook. There's a third hook that comes. It's called a positioner, and it comes from your waist, and it's like a third arm. So you just clip it to anything to so you can use both your hands to work. And most of the bars are horizontal. So when you're clipping it, you have about 6 inches left or right that thing can slide. And when you're focused on wiring a radio or an antenna and you're not worried about what you're doing, so you're leaning over here, leaning over there, and you feel that moment where that positioner loses traction and slips about 6 inches, your heart does the craziest little acrobatics.
Oh my goodness.
Because you know you're safe, but you sure don't feel it.
You don't. Yeah. Your body, viscerally, you feel very strange.
Lord have mercy. Well, the guitar has arrived.
Oh, the guitar.
Special thanks to your girlfriend.
Special thanks to my girlfriend, Raina DiBacco.
For bringing this by. We're going to have Chase perform a couple of songs after a quick break right here on The Mix.